Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 6. In verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful, not everything is expedient. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I can do this. I'm a Christian, I can do this. I have the liberty to do this. And it's not sin. It really isn't. It's not sin. But I can live in what's lawful, or I can live in what's expedient. Sometimes we come under the dominion of the lawful. In other words, there's something that I desire in my life that is not sin. And I can get to the point where that desire starts to control my life. At that point, what is lawful becomes unlawful. Because if I desire something outside of the will of God, it becomes an idol. And idols are, of course, unlawful. But all things are lawful. I can make whatever choice I want. I can do as I choose. I can go where I want. All of that is lawful. But not everything is expedient. The word expedient in the original language is sumphero, and it literally means to bring together in one place, to be profitable, advantageous, or to contribute or bring together for the benefit of another. Expedient is bringing together in one place. Now, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we have been made to be one new man with Christ. What is expedient is what will promote, what will bring me into the experience of my position as one new man with Christ. What will, in Romans 8:28, work together for good? Well, all things work together for good, but there is a specific good. The things that God brings will work together for good, but in verse 29, that good is to conform me to the image of His Son. So it may not be the good I'm necessarily thinking if I'm thinking only lawful. God is interested in expedient. Then it continues, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Nothing, not even that which is lawful, is going to control me, he said. No lawful desire will override that which is expedient. This is living with purpose. Lawful does not have purpose. Expedient does. The purpose of expedient is to bring me into my position. My whole life is spent becoming who I am. Christ says, I'm seated above in heavenly places. That's not necessarily my experience, but it is my position. Christ says, I'm accepted in the Beloved. That may not be my experience, but it certainly is my position. Christ says that I'm perfected by Him. That's not my experience, but it is my position. My life is spent having my experience line up with my position. I'm growing into who I am. That is a process. Expediency is that process. So all things are lawful. Yes, I can go where I want. Yes, I can do as I choose. Yes, I can marry who I will. Whatever it is, you are free. But it may not be expedient. The Christian does have the right given by God to live in lawful. But the Christian who's really going to make a difference is living in expedient, not in lawful. In 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. So everything will be lawful. Even if I sin, the blood of Christ in Revelation 1:5 will eliminate my sin. So in the end, for the believer, everything is lawful. Now, if I choose to sin, you can be sure God will not let me stay there. In other words, God chastises those he loves. But it's not because of the sin itself, it's because of the lack of fellowship the blood deals with the sin. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We walk with Christ by faith. Christ will get me back into fellowship with him. In other words, God says, I know you're here somewhere. Although you're not with me right now, I know you're here somewhere. And he initiates a program to bring me back into fellowship. That program may include chastisement if I choose to sin. He'll warn me, and he'll warn me, and he'll warn me. But if I don't heed the warning, then just like any good father, he's going to bring in a process of discipline. In Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So yeah, everything for the believer is lawful. But we're not interested in lawful. We don't get to know God in lawful. We don't develop fullness of life in lawful. We don't develop that rich intimacy with our Savior in lawful. We look for expedient. We want to live in expedient, not in lawful. In Proverbs 23:17, this is something that happens to Christians at times. If I'm living in lawful, I will get to this point. Let not your heart envy sinners. Let not your heart envy sinners. If there is a will of God operating in my life, and if I'm born again, there certainly is, God will start to order my steps because the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So God will order our steps according to his plan, according to his will, according to his purpose of us becoming conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if I am concerned with strictly that which is lawful and not with expedient, I may start to resent the plan of God. I may want more of something. Let's say I want more money. I want a job that makes more. Why can't I have a job that makes more, God? And at the same time, I recognize that the reason why I have the job that makes less is perhaps it would interfere with my call. Now, there's nothing wrong with finding a job that makes more so long as it does not interfere with your call. However, how do I know? And so I pray in Proverbs 3:5, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he'll direct your path. So I pray. And now I have a promise from God that he will direct my path. Yet there's something that I want. I want a job that pays more, that I'm qualified for. And I know such jobs are out there. And all of a sudden, I'm told that if I'm willing to move somewhere that's outside of my call, I can have the job that pays more. So what do I do? The offer is there. The door is open. What do I do? Well, I already know my call, so I don't leave my call because the call is everything. The call is where I find all of my provisions. The call is where I find all of my relationships. The call is where I grow. The call is where I get to know God. Everything that he has for me is within the call. And in the call, there is a geographic will. And in the call, there is a will regarding a local assembly. And in the call, there is a will regarding a specific pastor. Those are the three elements of a call. Now, I could go after the job that pays more. I've always wanted that job. If I get the job that pays more, I can maybe buy a bigger house, nicer car, put my kids through college, what have you. And it's lawful. It's not sin. I could go over there. I could find a church. I could find fellowship. I could find Bible. I could find Bible teaching. I could do it. It's lawful. but it's not the call. And if it's not the call, it's not expedient. The call is the most important thing in my life. There is nothing more important than the call of God in the believer's life, because that's where they find everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 6, and all these things are added unto you. The call is where you find everything. The call is where you find the way to a relationship with God. The call is where you find your spouse, your job, your provision, your friends, the body of Christ, and the portion that you provide into the body and the body provides for you is found within your call. And so I could have that. I've wanted that. It's lawful. But God says, you can do it if you want, and I won't hold it against you. But it's not the call. But it's not expedient. You won't have the quality of faith. You won't have the provisions that are within God's perfect will. You won't have the people that are within God's perfect will. Yeah, there'll be other people. Nothing wrong with those people. But not the perfect will. The perfect will is expedient. The perfect will is where I really get to know Him. What happens to us, sometimes we have this desire, and God's not fulfilling that desire. Because we are after what's expedient, not every desire that is lawful will be fulfilled. But there's other things that we'll receive instead. Quality of relationship with God being the top. Don't envy sinners. What that means is don't envy those people who live outside of faith. That can be carnal believers, it can be unbelievers. Don't envy, for that matter, anybody. Don't say to yourself, well, they could have it, why can't I have it? It's lawful, there's nothing wrong with me having it. It's nothing wrong with me making more money. No, there's nothing wrong with it at all, so long as you stay within what's expedient. And if it's expedient, go for it. If it's not, avoid it like the plague, it's a thief. But it is lawful. We have to be very careful that we not envy sinners. They can have it, why can't I? That's a very common question among Christians. They can have it, why can't I? They can go to a secular college, why can't I? You can! Just make sure it's expedient. Just make sure it's the perfect will of God. If it's the perfect will of God, have at it. If not, avoid it like the plague. Because there's a cost associated. Everything is constantly buying and selling. Buy the truth, sell it not. Everything is buying and selling. Whatever decision I make, I gain and I sacrifice. If I make a decision toward life with God, I gain and I sacrifice. I gain a life with God, I may sacrifice other things, like the satisfaction of my old sin nature at times. Everything is buying and selling. Buy the truth. Don't sell the truth. Selling the truth is common because sometimes selling the truth is lawful. But it's not expedient. It's not sin to marry somebody God said not to. And not because they're an unbeliever. It's sin to marry an unbeliever. It's not sin to marry another believer. But how about marrying the believer that God gave you? Yes, as long as it's a believer, you can marry whoever you want. However, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a choice. Do you want lawful or do you want expedient? A lot of young people say, heck, I'll take lawful. You'll also pay a price. Go for expedient. Our lives are made of expedient. Our lives are not made of lawful. In Philippians 3:7, What things were gained to me, I counted loss. What things were gained to me, I counted loss. Now, the word gain is kerdos. It means gain or profit. Counted is the word higimai. It means to lead. Well, that's a strange one, isn't it? Loss is zimian. It means damage, loss, detriment. What things were gained to me, what things I thought were profit, would lead me to detriment, to loss. For Christ. For is the word dia. It's a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act through Christ. So what he's saying is that which is not sin may bring some benefit, but still not build me in the one new man. What is lawful may actually take away from my life as the one new man. What is lawful may actually rob me of what is perfect. So we want to be really careful about lawful. Lawful is not doing us too many favors. Lawful means I don't get into sin. It's not sin. But is it what's going to add to you? Is it what's going to build your relationship? Is it going to bring Christ to the center of your thinking? Is it going to intensify your intimacy with your Savior? Is it going to build you in the one new man? So no, it may not be sin, but is it expedient? That's the real question. Often Christians want lawful. Lawful is pretty comfortable. Expedient will often bring in a cross. But we want expedient. Because there's very little advantage in lawful. In Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. Press is the word doiko, it's pursue. I pursue the mark, markus scopos, which is goal, of the prize of the high calling of God. The word prize is barbion, and it's literally talking about bema seat rewards. Bema seat is the judgment seat of Christ for believers. It's not a judgment seat of saved or not saved. That's already taken care of. You're not at the bema seat if you're not saved. It's a place of rewards. Some people will receive a reward. Others will suffer loss. What he is saying here is, I pursue receiving the utmost of rewards at the bema seat. Now, the rewards at the bema seat are not by natural effort. The rewards at the bema seat are all related to faith. There's three types of rewards. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is gold, there is silver, there is precious stones. There's three types of loss. There's wood, there's hay, and there's stubble. Gold is the things of faith. When you see gold in the Bible, think faith. Silver is things that are redemptive, or redemption itself. Things like forgiveness, mercy. Precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with love. And so, I operate in faith and I get a reward. I operate in redemption and I get a reward. I fail, but I exercise and apply the blood of Christ toward my failure, and I rebound completely from my failure. There's actually a reward of silver for that. But it's not like human gold, human silver, human precious stones. You see, we say, well, gold is more valuable than silver. I mean, look at the markets. God's not looking at the markets. Those are three different types of reward with equal value. And so, these are three different things that we get rewarded on the basis of. So on the basis of exercising redemption toward myself, and for that matter toward you, yes, if I fail, I apply the blood of Christ to my failure, I apply it to my conscience, and I get a reward because I allow myself to be completely delivered by the blood from the failure, and God gives a reward. If somebody fails against me, if somebody sins against me, I forgive them instantly, and I get a reward of silver. That's redemptive. And then there's precious stones. You love. Simple as that. Just love. And every instance where a believer reveals love, they get a reward of precious stones. Now, then there's also the reason why we lose rewards. Wood. Wood is the things of the old sin nature. Hay is things of the emotions. Emotionalism is hay. It burns really easily. Stubble is all the things that we start and quit. Aborted efforts. I started this project with God, but I quit. I started outreach, but I quit. I started whatever, but I quit. That's stubble. There's no rewards for that. We don't get rewards for good intentions. But we do get rewards for responses in faith, responding to redemption, and for applying the love of God. There's enormous rewards for those. Those are expedient. All things are lawful. Not everything is expedient. Yes, you can look out for yourself. God will not punish you necessarily unless you go into sin doing it. Yes, you can look out for yourself, or maybe you can just trust God. One is expedient, one is not. You want expedient. In Jude 1:20, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, this is expedient. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. How do I build myself up on my most holy faith? Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. Romans 10:17. A healthy diet of the Word of God is expedient. Exercising love, mixing that with that healthy diet of the Word of God, in Galatians 5:6, gives energy to your faith. That faith, in Romans 5:2, will bring you into the three dimensions of grace. The gift of God, which is His unmerited favor. The kindness of God is how that favor is expressed. And the government of God is the ruling principle of the kingdom. It's all grace. Grace is expedient. The Word of God, faith, thereby, is expedient. Then it continues, praying in the Holy Spirit. When Luke 18, verse 1, men ought to pray and not faint, that is to say, quit praying. That is expedient. What is it when I pray? I get on my knees and I recite something. No, not at all. Otherwise, God wouldn't say, pray without ceasing. Well, if you're going to pray without ceasing, how are you ever going to do your job? No, you have an attitude of the awareness of Christ. You're in constant communion, constant fellowship with Him. You may not even necessarily be talking to Him. You're at your job and you have the awareness of His presence and you live in that presence. You live before Him. Now you're praying without ceasing. You maintain that through the Word of God being in your consciousness. And you don't stop. Now you pray and you don't quit. Then it continues, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, here's the thing. In Romans 5:8, we are already one with the love of God. So how do I keep myself one with the love of God when I'm already one with the love of God? Christ did that. And Jude says, looking for mercy. Looking for mercy is the only way for me to keep myself in the love of God because I'm already one with the love of God. Looking for mercy is what keeps me in that place in my experience. Mercy is where it all begins. It's reflected in God's patience. Mercy is where it all begins. Yes, I have an old sin nature. Yes, I may fail. But the mercy of God takes care of me. Something goes wrong and I look for His mercy. Someone does something against me and I look to apply His mercy to me and them. I'm constantly looking for mercy. And it keeps me in the love of God. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. That's expedient. I don't neglect it, I grow in it. That's expedient. I don't neglect church, I come to church more and more because the pastor is the architect of faith, Paul said. I grow in it. I don't neglect reading my Bible, I read it more and more. Why? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. I grow in it. As I grow in knowledge, I grow in faith. As I grow in faith, I grow in grace. In John 15:12, love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. This is expedient. The love of God is what energizes me. The love of God is what protects me. The love of God is what draws me. The love of God is what restores me when I fail. I grow in it. My whole relationship to God is a love of God relationship. I grow in it. This is expedient. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, we know no man after the flesh. That's not talking about their old sin nature. That's talking about my old sin nature. I don't know you through my old sin nature. Just like Adam and Eve knew each other after the fall, they looked at each other, saw they were naked, and then they covered themselves up with fig leaves. They knew each other not according to the other's old sin nature. They knew each other according to their own old sin nature. And so I don't know anyone according to the old sin nature because if I do, I can't love one another. The old sin nature and love are not compatible. They are mutually exclusive. If I love, I will escape the old sin nature. If I live in the old sin nature, I will escape love. God said, love one another. Therefore, in your relationships, put away your old sin nature. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is not expedient. Anxiety makes people make stupid decisions. Be anxious for nothing. Now, you are one person with Christ. Christ is all-powerful. He possesses all things. He freely gives you all things. He answers prayer. He knows the desires of your heart. He controls your atoms. He controls your time. What exactly are you anxious about? It's like my old friend used to say, Jesus is the answer. What's your question? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We get the prayer part. Prayer is here praying for others. Supplication is praying for yourself. But this is the part that we miss sometimes. With thanksgiving. One of the biggest mistakes believers make is a lack of thankfulness. If I'm thankful, then I will receive what God gives. But if I am not thankful, it'll lead to negativity, and I will never see what God gives, only what I want and don't have. If I'm focused on what I want and don't have, I'll never experience all that He gave. So thankfulness is a much more important issue than just this religious little idea people have. You're humble and therefore I'm so grateful. No, it's living in reality of what is. And it protects the heart against Satan's negativity. It protects the heart against idolatry. It protects the heart against the desires of the flesh. Thankfulness is a kingdom issue, and it protects you in the spiritual warfare. If Adam and Eve exercised thankfulness in the garden, they would have never had the conversation they had with the enemy. If they said, "We're so grateful that God gave us this definition," they would have never thought about eating from that tree, and it didn't matter what it looked like. They had to lose their thankfulness before they could enter into sin. Then it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So when I'm anxious for nothing, in everything I pray with supplication and thanksgiving, then it doesn't matter what I understand, it doesn't matter what I know of circumstances or people, I'll always have peace. And it protects my frame of reference, and it protects my thought life. Those are two of the most important things that we have to guard: your frame of reference and your thought life. In Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. This is expedient. How often do we mull over in our head the negatives of the conversation we had 5 minutes ago? And then it starts to enter our emotions, and then it starts to enter into this place where things get contorted and we start to be insecure about things. And it's all from the enemy. Whatever things are true. Now, true is not factual. People often confuse truth and fact. Some people get upset if you say there is a difference. There is a difference. I don't care if you're upset. Fact is the data that I collect, whether through my eyes or ears or some other means, and then I give an interpretation to the data according to the resources that I have, and usually that's intellectually. Truth is what God said, John 17:17. Facts change all the time because interpretations change all the time. Fact is, that person robbed the store. Oops, nope, we got the wrong person. No longer a fact. You see, facts change. In science, facts change every 4 years. Truth doesn't change. Fact is my interpretation. And it may be honest and it may be sincere and I may be doing the best that I can. I'm not knocking the people doing that. But truth is different than fact. Truth is that which is of God. Fact comes from me. Truth is much more reliable. So whatever is true, not whatever is fact, whatever is true. Fact is, I'm a wretched little sinner. Truth is, I have no sin in me. Thank God for the blood. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just. Just is according to the finished work of Christ. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report. If there's any virtue, mental excellence is virtue. If there's anything of the Word of God that promotes my thinking with Christ. If there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things if you want to think in expedience. And then he continues, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking as a pastor to his church. The things I taught you, do them. They are expedient for you. They build your faith. They teach you how to think, not what to think. As a pastor, I'm not here to tell you what to think. I'm here to teach you the Word of God so you learn how to think. That's expedient. In Galatians 6:9, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary with faith responses. Don't be weary with following Christ. Don't be weary in receiving the Word of God. Don't be weary in trusting Him. For in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. If you don't quit, you will reap. Now, you may want it tomorrow, you may want it yesterday. But don't be weary. You're going to get it in God's time. Don't be weary. You will reap if you don't quit. My pastor, who trained me to be a pastor, he had this one saying. He would always say, the only way to lose is quit. If you don't quit with God, you can't lose. If you do quit with God, you can't win. So don't quit. Because if you don't quit, you will reap. That is expedient. Look for the things that are expedient. Don't worry about that which is lawful. Look for the things which are expedient. In expediency, you'll find your life with God. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die, and give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.